Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible today, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10, we'll read verse 5 and 6, and then verse 11 through 15. And I'm sure you can tell by my voice I'm a little under the weather. Please overlook that. Matthew 10, verse 5 and 6. "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And jumping to verse 11, "And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire or ask who in it is worthy, and there abide or stay till you go hence. And when you come into a house, salute it, or say, Hey, I'm here. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily or truly, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment for that city." Heavenly Father, please help us today. Me, physically, I can hardly breathe. But Lord, those that are listening, please illuminate the scriptures in their minds. Lord, please, by your Spirit, touch their souls to the end that they would want to follow Jesus in a greater way. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage, these five verses, they may sound a little weird. He said, hey, y'all go preach, and just pick a direction and go, and when you come to a town, go ahead and go in. But as you're entering into the city, and understand that today we drive, we get off the exit, whatever exit we want off the interstate, we get on the boulevard, and what do you know? We're there. But everywhere they went, they walked. But he said, ask, as you're coming into the city, who in this town is worthy or righteous? Or lives a godly life, or is a good Christian, or in that case, Jew, or whatever. Who in this town lives for God? But it uses the term worthy, and that may throw you off, because none of us are worthy. There's not one righteous, no, not one. We're altogether gone away, etc., as Paul said. But the word is right. Ask, hey, who in this town loves God? And there abide. Go to his house and stay on the sofa or the guest room or whatever until you leave the city, stay there. Now that's an interesting thing. Find out the best place to live or to stay. If you're going to be there a night or a week or whatever the case. And when you find a place, don't go from house to house. Don't stay at Bob's one night and Phil's the next. Stay there. This shows purpose. Hey, we came to this town to preach the gospel. This is what we came for. This is our purpose. We didn't come here to hobnob. We didn't come here to hang out or to fellowship or to have a good time or anything. We came to preach the gospel. But he says, when you come into a house, salute it. Again, another old word. But greet the people in the house. Be respectful. Say hello. And if the house is worthy, if truly these people follow God and love Him, let your peace come upon it. Again, this is language that we don't use, but I believe more than that, it speaks of an idea that is foreign to us. He said, let your peace come upon it. Well, what is your peace? You know, after work or whatever, after supper, you sit down, you watch your favorite TV program, maybe the kids are quiet or whatever, and for an hour or two you rest. Hey, it's peaceful. Or you go to the beach, or if you have a hunting camp, you go to the hunting camp and it's peaceful. But that's not what it's talking about. He said, let your peace come upon and rest upon and dwell in that house with you. And if the house and the people in the house aren't living for God, then let your peace return to you. And I'll hopefully bring this out, what this means. And he says, whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you go out of that house or out of that city, shake the dust off your feet. And then there's the comparison to Sodom and Gomorrah. The book of Matthew. Well, let's start with Mark. The book of Mark, there's a character to that book. And it presents Jesus as a servant. There's no genealogy because, hey, slaves don't have genealogies. They have mother and father like everybody else, but who cares? His lineage, his ancestors, who cares? He's just a servant. And Philippians chapter 2 says that Jesus came as a servant. He came from heaven and became a servant. Now Jesus is King, and we'll get to that in a second. Jesus is God, come from heaven. Yet again, we'll get to that in a second. But Mark portrays Jesus Christ as a servant. The book of Luke presents him as a man filled with the Holy Ghost. Starts out in chapter 4 when he stood up and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And all through that book you'll find the Spirit, the moving of the Spirit, the touch of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit displayed in his life. John presents Jesus as God. God come from heaven, not as a man, not as a servant, but God We know that Jesus, he's 100% man and he's 100% God. But that portrait of him, that view of him in the book of John is that he is God come in the flesh. But Matthew, the book we're studying now, presents Christ as the King of the Jews. And not only that he's the king, but he was on a journey, and he comes into his kingdom, and he starts to take account. He starts to inquire, hey, you know, I set you up, I gave you the funds, I gave you a task to do, did you do the task? If I gave you one talent, did you get another? If I gave you 5 or 10, did you get 10 or 20? Or did you bury your talent? Did you fail in the task? Are you a faithful steward? Or did you squander what I gave you? And Matthew presents Jesus as a king come to his kingdom to take account. And we find evidence of that in these few verses, and also the next chapter I'll look at in just a second. But the idea is that the disciples, he called his 12 disciples, gave them power, etc., etc., and said, hey, go preach, and as you go preach. And then our text today, it talks about their peace, that when they come into a city or a household, to let their peace rest upon it. Again, they're Christ's ambassadors, which Paul talked about. The king comes to his kingdom to take account. The king says, hey, go preach in my stead. Go tell them in my name. I mean, we've watched enough movies on TV to know that if the king, he wrote a parchment or a scroll, and he dripped the wax, and he took his signet ring and made an impression, and the messenger would go to that other town where he was sent and say, look, this is the king's mark, his seal, and whatever was inside that scroll, when they broke the seal and read it, it was as if the king was standing there saying it. Well, that's what an ambassador does. And the disciples, and by the way, us today, we're supposed to do his works. We are Christ's ambassadors, and we come in his name, not in our own. And when we preach, and it says in verse 14, if they don't receive you, if they won't listen to you, then when you leave, shake the dust off your feet. This is the King of the Jews, Christ, coming to that city through his ambassadors. Again, we have a president and senators and all that stuff. In England and other places, there's a king or a queen. And you've seen on TV when the queen, her entourage or whatever passes, that everybody bows, everybody curtsies, whatever. We understand the concept of royalty and etc. and respect, something that we've lost here today. So the idea of their peace, it's not their peace that rests upon the house. It's God's peace. It's God's presence. It's God's spirit that these disciples carried into the city and into the house. And God's glory, God's peace, is supposed to rest with them. In the book of Samuel, you may remember the story, don't have time to read it, that the ark of God, where the Ten Commandments were in, and we've seen the movie The Ten Commandments, we understand that concept. We've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark. We understand the concept of the Ark of God. An ark is a box where the Ten Commandments were inside. But the ark got taken, stolen by the Philistines, and then later on it came back. And the house of Abinadab hosted the ark. And for the years that the ark was with Abinadab, his house, his household, his business, everything was blessed. And God prospered him because the ark was in his house. And our response should be, we ought to invite Christ in to our lives, to our house, to our household, into our affairs. We ought to let the King into our life and show him reverence and bow before him. We need to welcome him and conduct ourselves in a fashion and in a manner that the King is pleased when we're in his presence. And because the ark of God lives in our heart, remember the apostle said that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Know you not that you're the temple of God, Paul said, because the Spirit of God dwells in you. But again, there's the abiding presence of God. To abide means to stay. The abiding presence of God should be in our lives and in our hearts. And there's comfort. The comfort of God can be in your soul. In John chapter 14, 15 and 16, Jesus takes time to preach and to teach about the Holy Spirit. And I've taught this before, taught it several times. But I'd like to go over John chapter 14 very quickly, too quickly. Sorry, I'm just out of time. But let's take a look at John chapter 14, keeping in mind everything we've said before. And this chapter is in several sections. It talks about heaven, that we get to go to heaven when we die. Then it talks about Jesus coming in the Father's name. And we know he came from heaven, born of the Virgin. We understand that. Then he talks about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that comes to live and to dwell and abide in our hearts. And if we get that far, at the end of this chapter, Jesus talks about that he's going back to heaven by the way of the cross. Oh, and by the way, the Spirit will come to you. That's the outline of the chapter. But let's read a little bit and see what we can find. Again, John chapter 14. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You believe in God, will believe in me too. In my Father's house in heaven are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Hey, look, I go back to heaven to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, that means I'm coming again. And I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And where I'm going, you know, and the way, you know." And Jesus is questioned, but he says, I'm going back to heaven, and I'm going by the way of the cross. But the disciples, they didn't understand. In verse 5, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And if we don't know where you're going, how can we know how you're going to get there? That's Cajun English, I guess. Jesus said unto him, I am the way. I am the truth. And I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If ye had known me, if you knew who I was, if you had taken time to get to know me, you would have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip pipes up and says, hey, I got another question. But Jesus is saying that, hey, I'm from heaven. And if you get to know me, you'll know the Father that sent me. Just as we said earlier, that Jesus sends us in his name, we're his ambassadors. Jesus is saying that he was sent from heaven by the Father as the Father's ambassador. It was God's will that he come, and it was God's will that he die for the sins of the world. You know, the disciples had the idea that when Jesus died, or when he was talking about it, that it was a failure, that he's executed as a criminal, and his life is a failure. But that was God's plan, because sin had to be taken care of. Somebody had to die for your sin and my sin, and if it's us, oh, we're dead and we're in hell and that's it. But Jesus came to die for us. So you get this idea of ambassador, one that represents another, and Jesus represented the Father, because it was the Father's will that we be saved. But then in verse 9, Jesus claims that Christ is the Father. Now, we believe in the Trinity, and Jesus is obviously testifying of that reality. But he says, I and my Father are one, and I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. In other words, they're together, they're unified in their purpose. And he's sent as the Father's ambassador, so that when we look at Christ, we can see the Father. But he says in verse 12, truly I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, the healings, the raising of the dead, the miracles, etc. If you believe on me, you'll be able to do these works also, because I go to my Father. Which again is a reference to Calvary. You're going to do all of these works. And in verse 13 he says, whosoever shall ask in my name, I'll do it, so that the Father can be glorified in the Son. You'll be able to do all these miracles I did. But then he says, if you ask in my name, I'll do it. The disciples, they went everywhere from town to town, healing the sick, raising the dead, doing all that same stuff that Christ did, but not in their power, in God's power. And he says here, you'll be able to do all of these miracles that I've done, but it's me doing it through you. It's my power. I'm the king, you're the ambassador. And in the end, God the Father is glorified. But he says in verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But then right after that, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, you've got power to heal the sick, to do all of this stuff, but keep my commandments. There's power available to do these miracles, to live a good and holy life. There's power to pray with, let's say, a drug addict, and God sets him free. There's all this power. But if you want that, you've got to live the Christian life. You've got to obey my commandments, he said. But he says, I will pray the Father or ask the Father, and he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Now, I'm running out of time. I understand that. But he says, if you love me, if you obey the Bible, hey, you know, I'm going to go to the cross, and then I'm going to go back to heaven, like I said in verse 1. But in verse 18, he said, I won't leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. And it goes on, and it's a wonderful thing to study. But he says, hey, I'm with you now. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to come back a long time from now. But until then, I'll send the Spirit. And the Holy Ghost will come to live inside of you. You're the temple of God, Paul said. I quoted it earlier. The Holy Ghost comes to live inside of you. And everything that you read about Jesus Christ, that lives inside of you, if you're born again. And he will make himself known. He will speak to you. He will cause you to understand what you read, as Philip told the eunuch. The Bible will come alive in your heart as we love him, as we obey him, as we study the scriptures, as we obey the scriptures. So much becomes available to us. It's called the indwelling of the Spirit. It's part of regeneration, the miracle that happens when you're born again. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.